You have your Bible, turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37, starting with verse 11, reading through verse 14. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost and we are out offer our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. This morning I want to talk to you about the cause and the cure for dry bones. I think all of us have been around long enough that we know that occasionally we have dry moments in our life. Occasionally we don't always have the joy, the thrill, the excitement of our Christian life. And that's really where Israel was. And that's what we deal with in today's society. But the Spirit of the Lord carried the prophet Ezekiel away and set him down in a vast valley that was full of bones. The bones were human skeletal remains, and there were many of them, and they were disjointed. They were scattered, and the Bible said they were very dry. That is, they had absolutely no life whatsoever in these bones. Ezekiel had never seen anything like this before, but God wanted to teach him a lesson that he might be able to share that lesson with the children of Israel. In obedience to the command of God, Ezekiel prophesied over these dry, dead bones, and he said, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And as he prophesied, the Bible said there was a noise. And there was a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Every bone knew exactly where to go to hook up with the very bone that it had been severed from. Ezekiel looked on in amazement. These old dry bones had come together, and they were covered with sinew or with tendons and with flesh and then with skin. They were bodies, but the Bible said they were lifeless. Now, the Bible said that Ezekiel prophesied again at the command of God. And he prophesied to the wind, and the wind blew and breath came into those lifeless bodies. And when it did, they became alive and became a mighty army for God. In Ezekiel 37, verse 11, God said, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Israel had become dead and dry. They needed a resurrection and a restoration. What God had done for these dry bones, he wanted to do for his people, Israel. Now, in the message today, I want us to look at the reason for Israel's problem. Why? And then the remedy or the cure that God promised in order to fix it. If you're seeking a cure for something, you first have to diagnose and recognize what the problem is. Now, I've got a doctor, Dr. Landers. He's very, very thorough. And you tell him you've got a little problem, and the first thing he does is he starts running tests. Sometimes I hate to tell him I've got a problem because I don't want to go through the test. But you know, the doctor can't fix you. He can't help you unless he knows what the problem is. And so it is, God wanted Ezekiel to know that he might share with the people what the problem really was. Once we identify the problem, the question is, what does it take to bring about a cure? What would Israel have to do to experience restoration? And that automatically leads us to a question about today. You know, I find out when I look back in the Old Testament and I read about what went on back then, we're not any different. People are people. And if they were unfaithful back then, whoa, they're unfaithful today too. And so what he's talking about is the church world. I never cease to be amazed in these last days how people can be so careless and cold and dry in their spiritual lives, and they just go through the motions. God help us to have something in here that's real. What is the reason for our lifelessness and our lack of passion? What does it take to get back into a state of joy and fullness and fruitfulness? What does it take? You know, I like to be happy, don't you? I enjoy being joyful. And brethren, I am a child of the King, and I know that my sins are forgiven. And if that doesn't give you some joy down in the depths of your soul, something's wrong. Amen. Let me say that we all have moments when we might be a little dry. But if you continue to be dry, that's the problem. You know, we're all human. God understands that. And that's why he's willing to forgive us. He said, confess your sins, and I'll forgive you of all your sins. He's talking to Christian folks in 1 John 1:9. Confess your sins, and he'll forgive you. Sometimes we get dry, but we don't have to stay there. Something is terribly wrong with us if we stay in that dry condition. But brethren, I enjoy my Christian life, and I don't want to be dry and barren and unfruitful. I want God to use me. I want to do the best I can to enjoy what time God has given me here on this earth. Well, I want us to consider two basic points this morning. First of all, the reason for Israel's problems. In chapter 36, verse 17, God told Ezekiel that his people had defiled the land of Israel by their ways and by their deeds. They were guilty of polluting the land with idolatry. They had profaned the name of the Lord God by professing him, but not backing up that profession with right living. Sounds like an indictment of the church today. I don't want to be a defeatist. I don't want to kind of look down the nose. But I'm here to tell you that Christianity is not doing what it ought to do. It's not totally alive and well. And that's not God's fault. But it's our fault as a church. And I'm talking about the church world. You see, we live in a day when folks are not excited about serving the Lord. Brethren, you almost have to beat them over the head to get them to come more than one time a week. Excitement. I'm glad to be a Christian. And you know, if I knew that the Lord was coming back this coming week, I'm going to tell you what I'd do, everything I knew I could do in order to please him and do all, because I know time is limited and night is coming when no man can work. So I want to be faithful. Now I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a week that it'll be the last week. It'll be the last week that you and I have to live on the face of this earth. It'll be the time when we come and stand before God and we will account for the life that we've lived. And God, who is omniscient, knows everything about us. He knows what we do and what we don't do. Here's the bottom line. Here's how it happens that we get away from the Lord. Four steps. Number one is the devotion level. And this is where Israel used to be. And this is where God wants all of us to be. The devotion level. We're on the level of devotion when we honor the Lord by being faithful to his word and being obedient to his commands. Brethren, God didn't put that word in this book just for us to read and then casually put it aside. It's our marching orders. It's how we're to live. It's how we're to serve. God gives us direction in our life. God help us to follow his directions. It is when we are faithful and obedient to God that God favors us and he blesses us. No obstacle is too big to overcome. No task too difficult to accomplish when we operate on the devotion level. But then step two is disobedience. Israel's problem began when they became disobedient to the word of God and they started doing their own thing. Or as the Bible said, they did that which was right in their own eyes. Remember verse 17, the Lord said, "You have defiled the land by your own way and by your doings." In other words, they were doing it their way. Have you ever seen anybody do that? Have you ever done it your way? I'm going to tell you, when you do it your way spiritually, you'll get in trouble. Now, I just want to remind you, God's way is the way. And we are to follow God's way. Then level three is distance. Disobedience always creates a distance. Israel was far away. They were exiled in the land of Babylon. Because of their disobedience, God had sent them there hoping to get their attention. Have you ever had God to chastise you? Have you ever had God to give you a little rap on the backside, you know? Because you were not where you ought to be. He didn't do it because he hated you. He did it because he loved you. Sometimes, you know, as parents, we've had to spank our kids. Now, I'm from the old school. I believed if they needed the rod, give them the rod. I can remember my dad didn't spank me much. But when he did, it was memorable. And when he did, you thought, I don't want that anymore. But he did it because he loved me. And you know, as I got a little older, he stopped spanking me. And he'd set me down on one end of the table and he'd get on the other end of the table. And I would much rather had a whipping. Daddy would make me feel like I was just awful. But I knew he did it because he loved me. And that's really what the Lord was trying to teach them, is I love you. And when I see you get out of the straight and narrow, I'm going to bump your cup a little bit and get you back in the straight and narrow because I love you. When a Christian is on the devotion level, he feels the nearness of God and he enjoys that sweet communion. But when he disobeys God and gets on the distance level, he feels lonely and forsaken and feels that distance from him and God. Such was the case with Israel in Babylonian captivity. And such is the case with you and me. Brother, when you start becoming disobedient, you really don't care enough a whole lot about coming to church. You don't care a whole lot about being around God's people when you're disobedient. But when you come to the place in your life that you say, "Yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I want to be in the center of your will." Again, if we knew he was coming back this week, what a difference it would make. Then the last level is dryness. And this is a picture of the condition of Israel here in chapter 37. To God, they were like a valley full of bones. And they were dry bones. They were very dry. At one time, these folks were devoted to the plan of God in their life. But for some foolish reason, we find that they disobeyed God. And their disobedience caused distance to come between them and God. Have you ever had that to happen? Kind of get at a distance from God, and you want his blessings, but you can't feel them anymore. Brethren, you can't have the blessings of God and live in disobedience. You've got to be faithful. You've got to do what he said. You know, it's just like your parents tell you, "Do what I tell you to do." Now, sometimes I didn't do that. And that's when I got it on the backside. But you know, when you obey, isn't it amazing how God blesses you? Isn't it amazing how he loves you and helps you? And you just enjoy being a Christian. You remember how it was when you first got saved? I mean, you gave your life to the Lord. He cleansed you of all your sin. You felt like, "Man, I'm just pure and clean on the inside. And I'm so happy in the Lord, I've got to tell everybody." And then after a while, you get dull and dry and routine and can't hardly get you to come to church. The preacher preaches, then it doesn't touch you anymore. Brother, you can go through the motions. Well, the remedy for their problem. There's no way that Israel's problem could be fixed outside the Spirit and the power of God. Just as these dry bones scattered in the valley of Ezekiel's vision could not fix themselves and once again live, neither can we. In verses 25 through 27, God promised to put his very own Spirit within them, and they would truly obey him as his very own people. That's what God wanted. You know, that's what he wants from me and you. He wants his Spirit to live within us. You know what the Bible said? If you have not the Spirit of God or Christ, you're not of his. I want the Spirit of God to live within my life. I know that the Word of God, when it is preached, and it first of all takes the Word of God. And there in the valley amidst the dry bones, Ezekiel was commanded to prophesy over the bones, and he was to declare the Word of God to them. Now, he wasn't to take those dry bones to the doctor and ask the doctor to give a diagnosis. He wasn't supposed to take these dry bones to a psychiatrist or some kind of spiritual medium. These bones were spiritually barren and dry, and only spiritual words could medicate that situation. You see, the cure is divine words. So Ezekiel spoke the word of the Lord, and there was sound and movement among the bones, And the power of the Word of God caused that which was unconnected to be connected. And by the power of His Word, scattered bones became skeletons, and they were covered with sinew, with flesh, and with skin. And so it is with the dryness in our own lives. We can't just get rid of it by relying on the fact that we're going to try to do better. You know, when I was growing up, we started going to church, and it's before I got saved. And me and my buddy, Bill Hall, we talked about, well, we're going to reform. You ever tried to do that? We're going to do better. And we tried, but, you know, we slipped and we faltered and we stumbled and we didn't always do right. But on that Sunday night, when the preacher preached right at me, on that Sunday night when the Holy Spirit took the Word of God and made it fit like a glove on my life, and I went to the altar, amen, and I confessed I was a sinner, amen, but I was saved by grace that night. The Holy Spirit reached down and forgave me of my sins. The Word of God pointed me in the right direction, but the Holy Spirit was needed to give life. You see, He's the only one that can give life to us. The Word of God will do its work, but it cannot give life. The Word points out what we need to do. The Holy Spirit is the quickening agent, and He draws us to repentance. And I felt that drawing. And when I went to the altar, what He promised, He did. He forgave me of all my sins, washed me clean in the blood of the Lamb. I got up from there a new creature. Old things had passed away. I had a new heart, a new nature, and I didn't have to try to reform. The Holy Spirit gave me a new heart that wanted to do the things of God. Dry bones. I wish that we could have revival in our church. You know, we have series of services called revival, but we don't really have revival. I wish we could have revival in America. You know, Billy Graham had some great services, but we didn't have revival in America with Billy Graham. He was a great man. Would to God that He could just do a work in our midst. But He's got to have hearts. He's got to have hearts that are submitted, that are bowing before Him and saying, Lord Jesus, have Your way in my life. From this moment on, I will serve You with every fiber of my being. I will be what You want me to be. God help us that we won't have dry bones, but we'll be alive and vital and have joy. You know, there's a lot of joy suckers out there. A lot of joy suckers. But I just refuse to let a joy sucker take the joy of my salvation from me. I'm glad that I'm a child of God. I may have some downtime just like you, but I don't stay down. With the help of God, I'm going to get up and keep on serving, and eventually you work through and you get back on the mountaintop. Do you have dry bones? That's the question, isn't it? Do you have dry bones? Have you lost the joy? Are you just going through the motions? Do you need a fresh touch? You know, there's nothing wrong with admitting that I need a fresh touch. I need for God to reach down and restore the joy of my salvation, to strengthen me, to be the kind of Christian that'll be faithful, faithful, faithful to the end. And the end may not be very far. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Bow with me for prayer.